Sarah Tina joins us now, the most avid book reader among us. She's in charge of our promotions and PR at WGN. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, John. Happy belated National Reading Month.
And isn't Independent Bookstore Day coming up too, something like that?
Yes. Yes, it is. April 26th. It's one of my favorite holidays of the year. So be sure to get out and support your local bookstore.
Yeah, I do like the brick and mortar shops. You do a real nice job, Sarah, not only corralling all of us to get our book reports in, our little paragraphs about what we're reading, but then it needs to be displayed and typed up in a very user-friendly way. And if you go to WGNradio.com/books, there's the April book list, and it's very scrollable. Some of us have more books than others. I've only got two in my report this week, or month, if you will. One I'll just mention is When the Earth Was Green, Plants, Animals, and Evolution's Greatest Romance. I love to read about earth science. I know it's a niche, and so I don't expect everybody will love this. But it's written by Riley Black, and I wrote, it's fun to think about dinosaurs roaming the earth and whatever did happen to them. But Black makes the case for thinking about the plant life through millennia, too. And she makes it so interesting in her telling to contemplate how life evolved, what ancient oceans were like, the land, the skies, and the first inkling of green life. Even the very first act of sex on this planet is detailed in her book, which led in time to you and me. So there's just a very, very user-friendly book about how we came to be when the earth was green. What's a book that stands out for you, Sarah? What did you really enjoy reading lately?
Well, I started out March with Brad Meltzer, his book, The JFK Conspiracy. And yeah. I know you interviewed him back in January, so I actually linked to that conversation too in our monthly book club post. But, you know, what's great about those books, because that's the second kind of conspiracy series. It's not really a series, but they're obviously going down, you know, the path. I had read the Nazi conspiracy last year, and it was almost one of my top 10 books. But he makes it, like, exciting for you. You don't have to be, like, if you're like, ew, that's nonfiction, not interested. This is what, like, invites you into that world because it reads like a thriller. You know, you're like, wait a second, is this, like, this can't be real life, but, you know, it is. And I think that's the power of a really good writer, to be able to craft that nonfiction story and make it, you know, believable in a way, in an engaging way. Obviously, yeah. It's believable, but a lot of fun. And I learned a lot because, you know, in history class, we didn't really get into more recent history, if you want to call, you know, Kennedy's presidency recent history. So there's a lot I learned about that and kind of the similarities and to, you know, that political discourse to some of what is happening today is also very interesting. And I think Brad, you know, got into a little bit of that with you in your interview back in January.
Yeah. Yeah, you can find that on our website, too. Steve, why don't you jump in here? You participated in the book club. What was one that jumped out for you this month?
You know, what I really liked was Memorial Days. It's a memoir by Geraldine Brooks, who's a renowned author in her own right, just both as a journalist. She covered the Gulf War years ago, and then she won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction some years later. But her husband was Tony Horowitz, who was also a celebrated journalist and author. And this has to do with her, how she dealt with her grief and her journey of grief after he, at the age of 60, just suddenly dropped dead on a Washington sidewalk. And as she was dealing with all of that shock and just trying to put it all together, she had to navigate some really callous behavior from the attending ER physician at the hospital where he was treated and pronounced dead. And then again, from the medical examiner and morgue. But the most instructive part of this whole thing, if that's what you look for, and I kind of read, I'm kind of hooked on other people's grief, and it's an awful thing to say, but in how they deal with it, because everybody deals with it differently. In their case, She was so ill-informed about the couple's complex finances. She had no idea. Tony took care of everything, didn't share any of the vital information with her, including passwords, all of that. She was left really struggling to figure all of this out. And I think that should be, certainly was to me, instructive about making sure Diane and I are on the same page when
Somebody pointed that out to me. Her husband died suddenly, and she says, I didn't know this stuff. I didn't know how to find this stuff. And if you knew when you were going to die, you would write it all down and put it in a safe. But we never do, and so we never do. Okay. So I went out and bought a safe. And I have been putting that stuff in there for that very reason. And I hope to live, you know, past tomorrow. But if it comes today, at least somebody will know how to open that account, you know?
Well, yeah, I'll be sure and tell Brenda what the combination is.
I probably won't. I'll forget it. Sarah, stay right there. Steve, and Bobby, you played along too.
Sure did.
We'll pick it up here in a minute. All of these books are listed at WGNradio.com/books. Oh, wait a minute. Pete said, no. Keep going, Pete. Is that what... Oh, we got time here? Okay, so we're good then. Super. Bobby, you jump in. What was the one that you wanted to point out?
I point out one already. Hang on, St. Christopher. That was the detective novel, part of a series set in Belfast, Ireland. But also, I know there's some Sipsworth lovers amongst us here. I count
Lisa
myself.
Dent.
Yeah.
Yes, I count myself. So one called Axeman's Carnival by Catherine Chidgey came out in 22, and it's about not a mouse, but a magpie, which is a bird. I had to look it up, actually. And it's from the bird's point of view. The bird becomes a pet to this woman, and she has a lot of big problems in her life, so the bird bears witness to that. But it's a real interesting observation on how we relate to animals, domesticated, wild animals, how humans relate to each other. It was really, really excellent. I say it's like Sipsworth because there's an animal as the centerpiece to it in a way, but it's really like no other book I ever saw. So that's
did you read Remarkably Bright Creatures?
I did not. Sounds like maybe I ought to.
Well, it's from the perspective of an octopus.
Oh, right. I've heard of that one.
Sarah, did you read that book?
Oh my gosh, yes. A couple years ago, Shelby Van Pelt. I love that book. Love that book. And it's hard for me to get into animal stories sometimes because I am concerned about the welfare of the animal, and I was in that book. But what a beautiful, beautiful story. She's a Chicago writer, actually.
Yeah. Give us another one on your list, Sarah.
The Berry Pickers by Amanda Peters. It actually came out in 2023, and I kind of kept it away for a little bit, but... it still has a lengthy library hold weight if you avail yourself of the library. And it is a story about an Indigenous Canadian family who comes to Maine every year to pick blueberries. And one year they bring all their children with them. They, you know, bring other people along with them too to do this. And one summer, some tragedy befalls the family where their youngest daughter, Ruthie, goes missing. And the next child in line, Joe, blames himself for this. He saw her on the rock. She was there one moment eating a sandwich. And then the next thing, the family can't find her. So, you know, they turn to the police where there's not much done about this. In the 60s. They kind of dismiss them, possibly partly, you know, there is some racism involved with this, with the Indigenous family. They come back a couple years, always looking for her. They never find her on that trip and have to, you know, go home without her. So the story is actually told in two viewpoints, in Joe, and sort of his journey dealing with this trauma, his whole life of like his missing sister, and then a woman named Norma. Who is sort of haunted by these dreams and like that maybe she's not like part herself or something, a part of her is missing. And of course, you kind of get where I'm going with this and how the two, Norma and Joe, eventually converge. Very beautifully written story. If you're looking for a page turner, It kind of got me out of a little bit of a reading slump, and it was a really great read.
Okay. Well, that's just a handful of the books that we've all touched on. The titles are all there. We do this every month, or else Sarah yells at us. And
she does.
Well, and can I just say something too? Like, what I love about this, even if you're not a reader, you know, you're like, oh, what do I care about this? You probably like a topic, right? You know, there is a topic for everything under the sun you can find in a book. And I think by visiting our book club recommendations, I mean, we've got astronomy, science, history, fiction, nonfiction. We really cover the gamut. And I think you'll probably find something on, you know, this month's title or a past title that kind of reels you in. And we also, Lisa Dent makes an appearance this month. So I want to thank Lisa for participating. And she jumped on our Sipsworth bandwagon and read that too. So
she's got her nose in Demon Copperhead too. And that's a nice touch too, that some of the books are brand new and some of them, oh yeah, that came out a couple of years ago. I got to pick it up. And so there's reviews and reminders at WGNradio.com/books. All right, Sarah, let's do this more often. Nice to talk to you again today.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Happy reading, everybody.